It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. Second attempt. This is the
audio. Hang on a sec, Joy. Let's restart this one. I'm kidding.
So this is the audio compendium to the weekly newsletter. The latest and greatest, as we like to say, in data breaching and overreaching. My name is Joey. That's Len. Len, beautiful date. My wife's on mat leave. She's out walking with her friends, with relatives, with... I am jealous. I am very, very jealous. What are you doing these days? How is your unofficial first day of summer?
No, it's been, we've had a warmer day very recently. For whatever reason over here in Oakville, it's not as warm as it was where I came from work. So whatever, just another day, another dollar. And here I am doing more, just grinding away, baby. So it's not the first day of summer yet. It's just another day.
It's coming. We have four stories tonight. Don't forget that we do the top four stories. But there are other stories in the newsletter. You can visit it. Visit the website, I should say, accessofeasy.com, and subscribe to it, the newsletter, that is, to get all of the content that we don't cover. As always, though, we'll start with last week's quote. Some things have to be believed to be seen. That was by Ralph Hodgson. You know that guy? You know that name?
No. Cody Hodgson, former hockey player. But
neither did anyone else, so no one got that. This week's quote, we do not see people as they are, but as they appear to us, and these appearances are usually misleading. Wow, deep. If you know who that was by, put it in the comments. You know the rules. No Googling. Don't look on the internet.
You know what would be if it was another Ralph Hodgson quote?
Like run two of them back to back?
Yeah, throw a curveball. If you didn't guess the first time, well, here you go, peeps. Try this again. That'd be classic, right? Like, that's what I want to see. Give them something like that they weren't expecting.
That would be good. We got to talk to the authors about that. If you know who it is, you know the drill. Comments, 50% off for your next round renewals on the house, actually, which is excellent. So, Len, we have four stories tonight. Some fun ones here. I don't know. Where do you want to start? I mean, these are some, again, frequent flyers, but there's a few new entrance to the contest here as well.
Marks and Spencer. That's a new one. I've never been to one of these places, but apparently they do exist in Canada. Have you been to one?
I have not. I've also not heard of them. I would say that I'm not quite like fancy enough for something like this by the looks of it, but I don't know. Maybe I'll buy something from them and then wear it on Monday night, our election show.
Well, after hearing this, I'm not sure if you want to go unless you want to go with a assumed name, some alias or something like that. Like when I saw this Marks and Spencer, I thought immediately this was like a high-end jewelry store or something along those lines, but it's not. It's like a clothing store, some stuff like that. So whatever, it is what it is. There, a store or a chain that's very much based with United Kingdom, and looks like they were hit by a cyber security incident that took place just this past weekend over the Easter long weekend. And so this took place just a few days ago. Now it's coming out and we're learning about this. Took a look immediately at the stock price because this is a publicly traded company. Joey, in the past 5 days, what do you think it's gone? Up, down, sideways?
Up.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's gone up 2%. So even with this news, the past 5 days, which encompasses before the Easter long weekend, it's up slightly. So it looks like investors may not care too much about this, but take that for what it's worth. As for the specifics with respect to this cybersecurity incident, it looks like they're still tight-lipped on exactly what happened. So it means that either they're still at risk and they don't want to expose whatever it is that's happened to them and have another incident like that, or maybe there was a ransomware payment that has been made or it's pending. Either way, it's probably one of the two of those things. But what's happened is it's impacted customers, and customers are having difficulty with completing payments. Specifically, it's the contactless payment. I suspect that's where you provide a credit card or with a chip on it, and it just does the payment like that. So the payments with respect to contactless is unfortunately being blocked and not being accepted in stores. Mm-hmm. But they're saying that stores, they're still open and customers can continue shopping through its website and through its app. They're trying to divert people to do that. And they say that they have made proactive decision to move some of our processes offline to protect our colleagues, partners, supplies, and businesses. All this means is the faith that I have with respect for protecting data is probably minimal at best. But what information would they have had from customers? I've shopped there, but if you are a shopper, are they asking for your name? Are they asking for specific information, telephone number?
Okay, email, so I'll tell you, they do sometimes. And the reason they do it is because they want to prevent fraud in the returns sort of silo. I think that's why. They may have loyalty cards or email lists as well, Len, which are obviously very popular in the retail space. I think that's also possible, you know, that you see a guy who is shopping at a menswear store or ladies wear store or whatever. And what ends up happening is they are placed on a list where, you know, every year on their birthday, they get a 10% off coupon. So now you've given your name, your email address, and your birthday, and then use your credit card. Now, presumably there's some, you know, some level of, your credit card information that's there, right? And so you have all these things that are going on in the background at any retailer. These guys just happen to be the center of this story. But I'm sure this kind of thing could happen at any, you name it, any sort of mainstream retailer could experience something like this.
If somebody was able to extract some money from a ransomware attack, it's going to make this type of incident more prominent because they're looking at other retailers that have similar type of data that can be extracted and used as a way of getting a quick payment. So they'll be going, like, just in Canada, for instance, is it the Bay? Which one is it going?
It's Bay is closing right now, yeah.
Right. So, like, do you think that they're providing the utmost of cybersecurity to all their data?
No.
I think they're just trying to, no. Right? So, like, wouldn't that be, I'm not trying to say people should go hit it for information, but if I were, I'd be looking at them, and they've been in business for, gosh, how many hundreds of years? Mm-hmm. Not that they have data that's valuable that
back to the
ago,
back still. To the pelt and fur trade. Yeah,
I'm curious to see what sort of trade was done in 1547. But with respect to that, like, you could be attacking, people would be attacking stuff like that because it's lucrative.
Yeah,
right. They do this because they want a payday, man. And you know what? This stuff is going to happen more and more frequent, and all the more reason when they ask for the information from you, your name, your email address, your telephone number, either decline or give fake information. Totally. What are you going to gain out of this?
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know why anyone would at this point be giving that information to any retailer. There's not a situation where you should be giving info to someone with whom you are buying a garment. There's no point. And I can't imagine that people are still doing this freely and without reserve, but seems to be the case. Here we are, you know, high-end retailer in the UK. Pwned, as the saying goes. Anyway, where do you want to go to next?
This spyware stuff called Alpine Quest. Never heard of this application.
Me neither.
And apparently for the Android ecosystem, it looks like it may have spyware that's been injected into it. I'm not sure if Alpine Quest is also available on the Apple Store, the App Store, but it's available on the Play Store for Google or for Android. And this is a popular mobile app. This is according to Google, used for outdoor activities like hiking, running, and off-road navigation. And it's offering features like offline mapping and stuff like that. So it's gonna, for people that are hiking enthusiasts, people that want to go off-roading, trekking, stuff like that. This is an app that people may want to tune into and install because it may just make their whole journey a little bit easier. But with respect to this, looks like even the Russian military may have been using this with respect to the war that's going on in Ukraine. And as a result for Russian military personnel using it, it makes it for a valuable target to inject spyware. And they've been doing this, and it's involuntarily extracting information from the Russian military's personnel's cell phones. And the people behind the attack, they're able to do this and perpetrate this into people's phones by providing an older version of the app and putting the spyware within it. And the app was distributed within a fake Telegram channel. Fake Telegram channel, downloading APKs from Telegram. I don't know what could go wrong from this, but I guess people are trying to avoid paying for the full feature and just trying to get an APK.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
But that, you know, you're getting, in the process, you're losing a lot. And look, in this case, user's telephone number, account details, contacts, geolocation. And if you're trying to fight a war, knowing this information, especially geolocation, could be really valuable when trying to mount an attack or defend an attack. Either way, as for who's behind this, it's unknown at this time, but maybe we'll find it in not too distant future. Either way, like, this is something, people out there, don't download APKs just out of the blue. You got to vet this stuff. Not to say that if it's on the App Store or the Play Store, it's going to be 100% clean, but you could say it's probably going to be more clean than if you're just getting it from anywhere else, especially a Telegram channel. Like, come on, do yourself a favor. Don't do this stuff.
Do you know what geocaching is?
That's where you go to a particular place and there's something to find there, right?
Yeah. So this was like super, I don't want to say it's not super popular now. I certainly am not doing it. I've never been a geocacher, but it was super popular years ago. And around the time iPhones really started to take hold of the consumer cell phone market, there's a lot of apps that were released that had presumably tons and tons of really good user location data at all times. You know, because it would know where you were, when you were there, why you were there, who you were with, if they were also users of the app. Probably you could get who you were with even if they weren't users of the app, thanks to, like, you know, the geographic data on your phone. And then I kind of think now that this is akin to that in a way. You know, these outdoor apps where people are saying, oh, I want to go to this trail, that trail. I can't imagine these apps don't have features like, you know, is this trail busy today, yes or no? And how would you know that, right? Well, you'd know because there's people from the app at the trail. And when you have that, when you have that amount of data, you are inviting fakers to come along and try and trick users into giving that data to them. Did you see the Telegram bot this thing had?
No, but it was sending information back to it, right?
I have, like, real-time user data to it, like, insane. Like, people, the amount, not to blame the users in this case, but like you mentioned there, you've done quite a few things wrong if you ended up with this app. You have to have really no understanding or survival, like digital survival instinct, to make it down all those different paths all at one time for an app about, like, hiking. Like, is this, are we really serious about this? This is what we've come to. Just pay the $8, like, whatever it is, right? It's crazy people are doing this. One thing you don't see on Apple, on the Apple ecosystem, is fake apps. So there is no APK store where people are trying to skirt the fees. It's a pain sometimes, but you really never hear problems like this from Apple devices or Apple users. Not saying there aren't other problems, but these ones in particular, you're guarded against.
So have you taken a look to see if Alpine Quest is available on there? I'm curious if this is strictly just an Android thing or if it's available on both platforms.
Let's see. But Alpine Quest.
Spyware that's being thrown about within this is just an older APK, so something that's available only for Android. So
I don't see it. There's popular ones here that I recognize, like AllTrails, but no, there's nothing here called Alpine Quest. So
I wonder why they didn't port this over to the Apple ecosystem. Either way, whatever. Let's talk about more Russian stories. And looks like folks with ties to Russia are trying to get access to organizations that have ties to Ukraine and also human rights organizations. And how are they trying to do this and how are they gaining access? Well, it's through the Microsoft 365 accounts. And this
again,
has been going on.
Again. This is like the fourth story we've had like this in 2 months.
Well, it's cloud-based, right? Anything cloud-based is going to be a honeypot for information. And depending on who's using it, in this case, if it's people in Ukraine or human rights, then you can see Russian actors wanting to get access to it. And this has been going on for about a month, since March of 2025. And the way they have been gaining access is by engaging a particular individual and tricking them into clicking a link. And that link is going to send back a code for a Microsoft-generated code, which then is parlayed over to the individual and they get direct access to the Microsoft 365 account. And how they're getting in touch with people is very interesting. They're using stuff like WhatsApp and Signal.
So great.
And they're able to, you know, to talk to them, asking them to hop onto a private chat. And they're saying that it's, you know, various European national political officials, some upcoming events centered around Ukraine, and you're just trying to trick them into, like, you know, like, let's chat, let's get down to dirty. And You know, I wonder if Klaus Schwab is listed in some of these names that they're throwing out there to try to lure people. Like, look, I'm with Klaus Schwab. Do you want to talk to us? Because, like, that guy's got nothing to do these days, or at least a lot less things to do these days. It's a lot of free time. But really, this all boils down to social engineering, trying to say that you're tied to a particular organization or some particular individuals. And then people think, oh, wow, you must be a big guy. Let me chat with you, even by video chat. And I'm through there. A little bit of trust is gained. They provide a link to the Microsoft 365 account, and that's it. They're off to the races. So I don't know. This is another reason why you want to self-host. I'm going to give a plug to EasyDNS, but your emails and stuff like that, it's better just to have it hosted on a reputable server like EasyDNS. But
yeah, not much else to that, right? You know, sometimes I wonder, this is like a sort of akin to the Nigerian Prince thing. Sometimes I wonder why people who obviously are so dumb that they fall for this kind of thing also think that European power players are reaching out to them via WhatsApp to have a quick discussion on video call. You ever wonder that? Like, what is the Dunning-Kruger level there? People who think they're more competent than they actually are. I don't know. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for these people, but no one from the European Union or the, you know, IMF or whoever, or, you know, is going to contact you about a Ukrainian.
It could be like C. Lagarde sending you a note randomly on WhatsApp.
CL. Yeah, hey, do you want to chat again? How's your trade going?
I just got out of jail again. And wait, did she do jail time, or was
she
that?
She didn't. I don't think she did. She's convicted. But I mean, does anyone over there do any jail time? No one who's ever worn a $5,000 scarf has gone to jail. And Lagarde, obviously, scarf connoisseur like none other. So
she's a big time scarf wearer. I just realized
she loves scarves.
There must be something there, like the Adam's apple or something she's trying to hide from people. Who knows?
This is why we need more than four stories in this newsletter, because otherwise we just fill it with comedy content. It's never that great.
I'm trying to do my best to make this as worthwhile as possible, right? Because if you're going to tune in, you might as well get a little bit more than just us reading the stories. We'll go to the last one, because it was recently uncovered that a crypto jacking campaign was a cause for
concern. Okay, I want to stop you right there. Do you like the term crypto jacking? Are you a fan of this term? I do not like this term, but I don't know a better one. It's kind of abrasive, you know? It doesn't really flow off the tongue, you know?
It's tough to say, and it really has a lot of ties to the, I'm going to be as politically correct as possible here, with the altcoin community, because stuff like this doesn't really happen, at least with respect to what's talked about in this story. It doesn't happen within Bitcoin, because we're talking about proof of work with ASICs, and you can't really mine off somebody else's resources off their CPU or GPU. It just doesn't work. Yeah. So we'll continue with the crypto jacking term again. It looks like both of us are giving it a few thumbs down, which is, you know, it is what it is. Anyways, there's an innovative new approach that people are taking with respect to mining these altcoins, and it's without the user's consent, and by taking over or getting involved with the Docker environments. And security researchers from Darktrace and Caddo Security Labs, they've identified this new way of doing this malware stuff. And this thing, it distinguishes itself from legitimate tools, and it does so in a way to accumulate altcoin rewards. And the key aspect here is the malware connects to a Web3 startup, and it's called Teneo.pro. I wanted to click on, I wanted to copy and paste this, but I decided it was a better part of me not to do it. I was even going to do it within a sandboxed version. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't bring myself. So I have no idea what's on that website. Anybody wants to check it out, be my guest, Teneo.pro.
Do not check it out. Go there.
If you want to, go ahead. I don't recommend it. It's a strategy, like connecting through it as a way to earning some of the tokens on the platform. And through this connection using the Docker thing, it added a layer of complexity. And so investigating it was difficult, because the initial point of entry of the malware involves the attackers of launching a malicious container directly from the Docker hub, right? And when that's done, it's then it's sending information that's going to be sent directly to them. And typically when you load up Docker, it's going to be sending information to somewhere if you're going to be mining or getting some sort of node done online to get access to more of these altcoins. So by using this, it was a way of trying to get around it. So like as a way that they could get some free tokens without notifying the end user. So all in all, what's recommended here is you have to do some network sniffing. You got to have firewalls set up to make sure that the ports that should be closed remain closed. You're only accessing ports that should only remain accessed. Ensure that you have up-to-date software and keep network controls. So see what's being sent out if you can. Look at all the data that's being sent out. If there's a spike in activity that shouldn't be a spike there, well, there's something that's going wrong. And it's just a new surface attack for people to gain access to more wealth. And they're using people's Docker's environments to do that. And it's pretty innovative in a way because, you know, it's sending more data at a time where more data should be sent. But still, I think if you do enough sniffing around, you may be able to find this stuff. But what's the big takeaway from this story?
Bitcoin only,
don't
baby.
Altcoin.
That's it.
Right? Yeah. Like, what's the point? Like, you're just gonna be asking yourself a whole bunch. You wouldn't get this in Bitcoin, right? Like, if you do this in Bitcoin, you don't have this type of garbage. You could lose your Bitcoin in other ways, but this, I mean, I don't know. This story is pathetic in many different reasons. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to say anymore. And you know, I just have to say one last thing. Sorry, I do have one Docker environment that's running in this household, and it's only for my node implementation. That is it. And it's very, very basic. And I just want to say that.
I wouldn't even add anything to that, so I'm not going to. Maybe we can add some value here. One last story. The election is Monday. We won't be back on this channel until 3 days later. Where are you putting your chips? What do you got?
For who's gonna win?
Yeah, give me the color and minority majority.
I'm still steadfast in what I've been saying all along. It's going to be conservative victory. They'll have the most seats. It's either going to be a majority or a minority. I can't figure out which of the two it's going to be, but I'm leaning more so towards a minority. I can't see a path for the Liberals to win, but maybe I'm going to be totally wrong.
I bet 200 on Pierre Poilievre winning today. So...
allegedly you bet $200.
People are claiming, the story is floating around, that I bet $200 on Poilievre winning. So that's
a lot of Monopoly money. So it's not like you're putting real money.
Fake money. It's a paper bet.
And, allegedly.
People are claiming that I made a paper bet. That's right. Many layers of obfuscation and allegation here. But I think the Blues... I said on our show that I think the Reds are going to win. I'm saying on this show that the Blues are going to win. That way I'm ready to win. So
covering both sides. And watch the Orange win. Just to really
Somehow I doubt it.
Now, a good question. Greater or less than 10 seats for the NDP?
Less.
Wow, okay.
No, you know what? I don't think so. I think Carney is soured on a lot of people, and I presume that the NDP voters are among the most sour feeling today. Great line of questioning from one of the reporters in the Scrum earlier about his call with Donald Trump from March, where he said the president really respected our sovereignty and wanted to make deals and stuff, and Trump basically saying today or yesterday that none of that ever happened. And he did get pushed on that today, and he spoke in circles, and he did this tell. There's a guy on Twitter who's saying that Carney's tell when he's about to tell a lie is that he touches his face before he starts talking. And if you look back, you know, he's got a number of different examples of where he's clearly, you and I will never know if he's lying or telling the truth, but he certainly is not being direct. He's talking in circles and all these different examples. So make of that what you will.
Have you cast your ballot yet?
I have not. I'm going to go Monday.
Yeah.
The balloting place is like a block from me, so I'm not that worried about it. I'm just going to walk over.
I look forward to spoiling my ballot.
That's right. It. Listen, we're getting out of here. We'll see you next week. Latest, greatest, data breach and overreach and all that good stuff. Sign up for the newsletter, accessofeasy.com. Sign up for the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, only make paper bets.
Take care.